Well, thank you, Gene, for that. A great reminder that if we have Christ, we have everything. And he ever hit all the scriptures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, we are in Revelation chapter 21, and so you can find it. Just the next to the last chapter towards the end of the Bible. And we'll read verses 9 to 21 for our scripture reading today. And before I read, let me just make a real quick announcement. You might remember a little over a year and a half ago, the Amani Children's Choir from Uganda was here and sang and led a service. Well, they are back in Oklahoma. And if you are interested in going and seeing one of their performances, you can just ask me after church, and I can let you know some of the locations that they are going to be at. They're going to be at a church next Sunday, and then I think they're going to be at an open amphitheater next Sunday evening. But anyway, if you're interested in that, you can just talk to me after church or call or whatever. Maybe I can get you some of those locations. But if you, our location today is going to be in Revelation 21. If you're willing and able, if you have it, I invite you to stand for the public reading of Holy Scripture. We are given a command in Scripture that the leaders and the pastors of the church are to devote themselves to the public reading of Holy Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. And so that is what we do. So Revelation chapter 21, and I'll begin reading in verse number 9. And one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and said to me, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three great gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each gate made of a single pearl. And the great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. And let's take time for prayer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we might come and gather together. And Lord, I ask for the strength of your spirit as we talk about these great and glorious things in the city that you have prepared for us. Lord, might it encourage our hearts, our faith, that we look forward to that great and glorious day where we will see Jesus, our Savior, and he will usher us into that place that he has prepared for us. And Lord, I do pray that if there are any here that will hear the sound of my voice and your words that come from it, Lord, that you might quicken them to faith. Lord, that they might see the beauty of Christ, that you might convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. And Lord, that they might hope in you and in you alone for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray you might call people to yourself even this very day from this great text of a tremendous future. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Well, some people might say that there are but two kinds of people in the world. There are those people that like to travel. They like to go hither and yon and see all kinds of new things all over our land or the world over. So there are those that like to travel. Then there are those that would like to travel. They would like to go hither and yon, to and fro all over our land or world and see all manner of things that are attempted to be seen. But whenever somebody, I would imagine, travels or think about would like to travel, generally I would say that the person would kind of like a little bit of information or a description of the destination that they are planning on going to. They kind of want to know a little bit about the place before they visit. I mean, it's nice to see a picture, to look at the sights that they can be seen. Just to kind of whet your appetite a little bit, just to say, you know, I'm going to go see it, and so you just kind of build up the anticipation just a little bit. And maybe you have done that on occasion or two, or maybe a lot of occasions, as you get ready to go look or a visit to a place. Well, I got a question for you this morning. Is heaven on anybody's destination list? Is that on your list of a place that you would like to see one day? You know, I would really like to visit heaven. I would really like to see it. Well, you know, the text that I had just read just a little bit ago, we have an approved description of what heaven is like. On what it looks like, it was a vision that the Apostle John had from the angel, and it's something that he saw, he laid his eyes on, and here we have a God-approved description of what the new heavenly Jerusalem will be about in the eternities that are to come. It is an approved description, and in this description we find out that this is a destination really not necessarily that we're going to go to. We talk about going to heaven, but in this description, it is that the destination itself is going to come to us. That the destination is going to come down from God, come down from heaven above, and descend on the new earth to be, as you will, the capital city, the jumping off point for the enjoyment throughout. And as we give a little bit of a thought to this description here, and I'm sure words are going to fail in this as I try to relay this to you, but I want us to think a little bit about this city and its citizens, as well as this city and its sparkle, because it is a shining city on a hill, with some may refer to that as cities down here, but nothing compared to this shining city. That is a hill in itself. And then also to end a little bit on the city and its size, because this is a massive and an amazing city for the people of God to dwell in and to enjoy. So let's just say first of all about the city and its citizens. And look at verse number 9 of Revelation 21. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Here is this a description that's just continuing on from where we were at the last time. We talked about this new heavenly Jerusalem that was going to be coming down out of heaven. And we find out here that John gets a tour guide. And his tour guide is an angel. In fact, it's one of the seven angels that was in Revelation chapter 16. These seven angels each had a bowl full of God's wrath, and they poured it out on the earth. And so one of these seven angels comes to John. It's going to give him just a brief little tour and overview of the celestial city, which is above. And I guess this angel is a multitasker because he earlier dumped out the bowls of wrath on the earth, and it could have been maybe this the seventh angel, because the seventh angel dumped out his bowl of wrath, and all the cities of the earth were shaken, and they were fallen, and great Babylon falls. And so maybe it's this angel that brings devastation on the cities of the earth in Revelation 16 and verse 19. And now this angel, or one of the seven angels, comes and describes the eternal city. After all the cities that man has made falls and they crumble, now this angel is going to show John the eternal city that will never fall or crumble. Notice it again in verse number 9 as he begins to describe the city. And it's a little bit surprising here at the end of verse number 9. He says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And so here into this initial description, as the angels being the tour guide who describe this magnificent city to John, he describes the city, first of all, as a bride. Earlier that the city was mentioned, it was adorned as a bride for the bridegroom, all dressed up and ready for the wedding day. But here, the city is called the bride. Even the very wife of the Lamb's wife, the Lord Jesus Christ's bride, that is the city, also called the holy city and Jerusalem. And so we see here from the angel's first description here that this city, the celestial city, is closely associated with its citizens. It is so closely associated with the citizens and those that reside in the city that the city itself is not just a city, but it is also referred to as the bride and the wife of the Lamb. You know, these same descriptions are given to the redeemed people of God. You remember that the church is called the bride of Christ. That husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He loves his bride and gave himself for his bride. And so the church, we are the bride of Christ, the same term used here in describing this city. You know, that the people of God are not just described as the bride of Christ, but you know, we're also described as the very temple of God. You know that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And then, the Apostle Paul tells us that don't you know that we are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so we are not to abuse our bodies because God dwells in us. We are the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, which this is also described as a tabernacle. In fact, there's another reference to the people of God in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, we're referred to as living stones. That the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Peter 2, 5, we read, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." And so as God's people, as the church, the called out ones, the redeemed, we're the bride, we're the temple, and we're also stones, as it were, that God is using to build his city or his residence. In fact, Jesus told the church in Philadelphia here in Revelation chapter 3, he says, "You will be pillars in the temple of my God." And so we're stones, we're pillars, we're a temple, we are the city, we are the bride, and this is the initial description that the angel gives to John. You see, as the redeemed people of God, we are the citizens of the city as well as the city. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to the city. The Jerusalem that is above is our mother," we read in the book of Galatians. But we're not just the citizens of the city. In some way, we're so closely associated with this city that we are the city. because the city and its people are closely associated. This city is a real place, but it's defined by the real people who reside there. Because if you travel and you go to any city or any place, you know that it's the people that make the place. Right? I mean, it's nice to see the buildings and to see the sites, but the people make the place. And in this new city, the new Jerusalem, it's a magnificent city, but it's the people that make the place, the bride of the land. And in cities that we may visit here on earth can be known by many different names, not just the names that they're called, but they, some famous cities have some good nicknames. In fact, I'm going to just play a little game with you real quick and see if you can name that city. What city on our planet is the city of love?
Philadelphia.
Well, that's the city of brotherly love, but the city of love, you're going to go to France. Paris is the city of love. Well, what about the Pearl of the Orient? What city is the Pearl of the Orient? Hong Kong. Oh, well, let's bring it a little closer. What about Big D? That's not the Big Easy? No, you just know that one, right? The City of Seven Hills.
Rome.
In Italy. Rome, the City of Seven Hills. The Steel City.
Pittsburgh.
The Motor City?
Detroit.
The Windy City?
Chicago.
And the City of Brotherly Love? What about the City of Angels?
Los Angeles.
There's got to be fallen angels in Los Angeles, but it is called the City of Angels, right? You know, the city that never sleeps, with the Big Apple.
New York.
And Sin City. We have a city here that's known worldwide as Sin City. What city is that?
Las Vegas.
Well, this city too is described for us, is described with a nickname. It is the Holy City. Not Sin City, but it is the Holy City. City to Jerusalem, and that is above. This eternal city has this name that the angel described as the Holy City, and it's Jerusalem. It corresponds to the present city on our planet now that is Jerusalem, but this one really is the Holy City. Because this city is different than any city that we have ever visited down here. It's holy. It is free from any sin. I mean, our minds cannot grasp what it would mean to be in a city where there is no sin, where things are just set apart and it is holy. What an amazing city to be from. It is the city of Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. Imagine a city with no strife. Our cities here are ablaze with strife. But the city that is above is a holy city, and it is free from sin, and it is free from strife. Just like the residents that are in the city. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 14 that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so just as this city is holy, so all of its residents are holy. And just as this city is called the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace, so are all of its residents. As Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. This amazing city that's associated with its citizens, holy and peaceful citizens, in a holy and peaceful city. An amazing city that God has made for His people, even to be His bride. And notice what it says about this city at the end of verse number 10. He said, and He showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Again, this destination that I hope you're eager to go visit the one day. When you go to this destination, we don't really go to the destination. The destination is actually coming to us. In fact, this city is described three different times in Revelation as coming down out of heaven. Let me read one in Revelation 3 and verse 12. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and never again will they leave it. then I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. Again, we're pillars in this temple, and this city is from God, and He's going to come down to us, come down to the new earth. Revelation 21 and verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. The same thing we had in verse number 10. This city, this eternal destination, is coming to us. It's coming down here to the new heavens and or the new earth. So that's just a few thoughts on the city and its citizens and its great destination that is going to make an eternal impact on us on this evening. So that's just a few thoughts there. Let me move on here to the city and its sparkle. This city is unlike any other city because of the way that it shines. It truly is a city, a set on a hill that is shining for all to see. Look at verse number 11, how John describes it as the angel tour guide should show me. Verse number 11, it shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper. It's clear. It's crystal. Here in this vision, John is taken up in the spirit, and John says, taken up to a great and high mountain. He had to get a good look at this city, he had to get really high up so he could get the correct perspective of it. And as he sees this city coming down to the new earth, he describes it as a jewel that is just glistening with the light that is emanating from it. It is like a brilliant jewel shining with the glory of God, because this is the city of God, and as the effulgence of light permeates the city and then out, it's just like a glistening jewel. I mean, have you ever held a little jewel in your hand, or maybe your ring, and you get up and light it just a certain way, and the facets of it, and it just shines? Well, it's just a little bitty small fleck of a stone. Well, here John sees this massive city, and the whole city is described as this shining jewel, just refracting light from all the many facets of the beauty that is culminating and emanating from this city. I mean, this whole city is just beautifully magnificent. And you know, there's no bad areas in this city. I mean, you think of the cities down here, there's usually some bad areas. You know, there's some alright areas, and there's some areas that you just want to stay out of if you don't have to go there. Well, this city, the whole thing is just shining and radiating like a beautiful jewel. There are no bad parts in this new city. And this city is going to stay that way because it is a very secure and stable city. Look at verse number 12. Burning in verse number 12. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. You might think this is a facet that you might not expect to be a part of the New Jerusalem, of the city that is above, of heaven. That there is a wall that surrounds the city, a great and a high wall. And I think this conveys to us about the security of this city. Because you remember when God when He made mankind, and He put him in a garden. In an open garden. A garden where sin and where Satan were allowed to enter and to tempt its inhabitants. An open garden where things could freely come in and out that were evil. Well, this city is not like the Garden of Eden because it has a great and a high wall, telling us that it is secure. There are entrances and exits to this city, that each one of them, each 12 of these, has an angel and each one to secure the holiness of the city. Sin and Satan will not be allowed in this city. The eternal abode that we look forward to will be a time where we cannot sin. It will be impossible for us to sin. Whereas in the garden, it was possible for Adam and Eve to sin, but not in this city because it has a great and a high wall. Look at verse number 14, something else about this city, that the wall of the city had 12 foundations on them. That this is a city and this is a wall that is never going to be shaken. Again, if this angel showing John is the one that took out all the cities on the earth, now he's showing this city that has 12 foundations. It is a city that will never be shaken. It will never teeter and it will never totter. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 28 that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is secure and it is stable and it will never be shaken. The scripture says that God says he will shake the heavens and he will shake the earth, but our kingdom and this kingdom will never be shaken. It's what the people of God have longed and hoped for. There's a verse that speaks of Abraham and his faith in Hebrews 11, verse number 10. And what he was looking forward to, he says he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He's looking for a city that has sure foundations, not a foundation that a man lays, which will be shaken, but a foundation that God lays, which is secure and stable. A city with foundations that God made. And that is this city. But this city, even its foundations and its walls, is something that is alive with color. And I find this rather remarkable because in our buildings here, in the cities that you visit here, walls, the fortress walls and foundations are generally not the prettiest part of the structure. You know, they just serve a utilitarian purpose. You know, they're usually a drab, you know, might have some, you know, gray concrete, maybe some brown stone, you know, some brick or whatever. But not the most beautiful feature of a building are its walls and foundations. In fact, we're familiar with some of these. I think Joy's going to put up a picture of the Great Wall of China. You know, one of the amazing wonders of our world, like a great structure. Not really a beautiful structure. You know, you got some browns. It's all right. It's a big wall. I mean, you can get a few people wide on it. It's an amazing structure to see, but not the most maybe beautiful thing in the world. In fact, the city of Seven Hills and Vatican City, it too has a wall all the way around Vatican City. Just a beautiful kind of gray, you know, it's just a wall. It just kind of keeps people out. You got an opening, let people in. It's just a wall because, you know, walls aren't that lovely to look at. In fact, our president, one of his big things, he's wanting to build a wall. And then, boy, is your truss wall very beautiful? I said, oh, yeah, nice rust. Nice steel slats. You know, hey, it's a great wall. We're familiar with walls and foundations, but they're not very pretty. But they're not real great to look at. But you read of this wall in Revelation 21, and look at verse 17 and 18, and the angel measured the wall using human measurements. It was 144 cubits thick. And the wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold was pure as glass. Imagine this wall, and the thickness of this wall, a lot thicker than the Great Wall of China. It's over 200 feet thick. I mean, that's almost a football field. I mean, a lot thicker than this room is. 200 feet thick, and not in grade. Drab concrete or whatever, but of jasper, of a jewel. You know, we have a little jewel, might have a jewel in the ring or whatever, just a little bitty flat. This is a humongous, transparent, beautiful jewel that's just the wall. That's just the foundations are not concrete. We read in verse 19 and 20, listen to how the foundations are described. The foundations of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third agate, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth onyx, and the sixth ruby, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth turquoise, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. I mean, imagine the description of these foundations, that these are 12 gemstones. I mean, just beyond our imagination that jewels could be this large and to serve as foundations and as walls and emanating with every beautiful color that you can imagine. The blues and the greens and the reds and the clears and the light emanating from this and a sparkling jewel. And this is just the outside. It's just the wall. It's just the foundation stones are just beyond compare in every beautiful color that can enter our imagination. You know, I hear our foundations, that they're just a hidden structure just to kind of hold the weight. But these foundations are not just a hidden structure. They're there for exposed beauty. I mean, the beauty of this city is beyond compare. The walls and the foundations. And we don't know whether these foundations are 12 layers, you know, 12 like this, or maybe it's just giant stones under each one of the 12 entrances. And so maybe under one entrance you have the amethyst, and then another you have the beryl, and you've got just 12 amazing sparkling foundation stones for this great, high, and beautiful wall. And the scripture here tells us that these gates and foundations actually have names on them. Look at the verses, verse 12, 21-12. And the gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And verse number 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So here on the outside of this city, on the wall, the gates, and then as well as the foundations, you have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, as well as the 12 apostles. And so here we see this city that is the bride of the Lamb, that there is continuity between the Old Testament and through the New Testament. Old Testament saints and New Testament saints all together are the bride of the Lamb, and their leaders' names are inscribed on the foundations as well as on the gates of the wall. It's a little bit of reminiscent, if you remember, that the high priest in his garb that he wore and on his ephod and on his shoulders, you remember he had 12 stones? He carried these stones, and each one of the tribes of Israel had a stone for each tribe. And the high priest bore these stones, and now we come to this city, and it is full of the stones, the living stones that make up the beauty of this city of God in which we will reside. You know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are citizens built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And here we see a picture of that with all of these 12 foundations and with this amazing wall with its gates. There's something else about the gate that I think we need to point out. Look at verse number 21 for these 12 gates. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each gate was made of a single pearl. Now, a lot of jokes about heaven. It's just, you go to the pearly gates, right? Well, where do they get the pearly gates? Well, it's right here in Revelation 21, that there are 12 gates to this city, and each gate was made of a single pearl. Now, the way we get pearls here is from an oyster. And as big as this gate is, 200 feet thick, I mean, how big is this oyster that he's getting this pearl from to make this gate? This has got to be an amazing kind of, maybe it's one of the constellations. Who knows? Of course, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. But I giant pearl. Now, I don't know a lot about, some of these stones here, but when you think about a pearl, at least the way that we associate them with them here, how are pearls made? Pearls are made from an irritation, some agony, and some suffering on a part of the oyster. And something gets inside, and somehow that irritation turns into a pearl and becomes something very, very precious that is very, very prized. Could that be part of the meaning here? That here you have this magnificent city with this huge wall all the way around it, and there are 12 entrances and 12 gates, and each gate is made of a single pearl. How do we enter this city? We enter through the suffering of another. The only way we get into this city is through a pearly gate, telling us of the irritation that we caused of our husband, telling us of the suffering that my sin caused the one who redeemed me, telling me of the suffering and the agony that our Redeemer went through so that I may go through the pearly gate. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, he said he's the good shepherd, but he also said, I am the gate. And those that enter through me will have eternal life. There's 12 gates to this city, each one made of a single pearl, fashioned out of irritation and agony and suffering. And that is the way that we go through. And Jesus Christ is that pearl of great price that we enter to this city by Him. It's something else that, it says of these gates, that on each one of these gates is written the names of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know how familiar you are with some of the 12 tribes of Israel or the guys that headed them up, or even the 12 apostles, but they were all saints. They were all rascals. And when we go through that gate, a sinner's name is inscribed on that pearl. The gates to which we enter the heaven are inscribed with the names of the rascals that He redeemed. He redeemed Judah, who was a sinner, and Christ died for him. So we enter through a gate, and we see the name of the ones that He redeemed. He redeemed Simeon, and He redeemed Benjamin, and it became a great pearl that is the symbol as we enter into heaven. You know what makes us precious? What made Levi precious? What made Zebulun precious? In and of themselves, nothing but irritating sand and agony and sin. But Christ takes them and He makes them beautiful and colorful and a living stone that is set in the city of God, who is the very wife of the Lamb. No, I tell you, it is a sparkling city with all of these stones and foundations and walls and a single great pearl with the sinner's name etched in it, telling us how we get into Christ. So the city has a little sparkle to it. And the people make the city. It's the city and its citizens. Because, that's the people make the place. And it's just a bunch of redeemed sinners. And Christ's agony is the great pearl. The great pearl. So let's end here thinking about the city and its size. Because this is monumentous, to say the least. Well, look at verse number 15. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold. No tape measure here. He's got to be gold. A measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod, and he found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. Angel measured the wall using a human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. Now here we see the city as it is the angel tour guide showing John. John telling us that this city has absolute perfect symmetry to it. It is a square. In fact, not just a square. We have a town squares. This is more than a square. It is a cube because a height is given to this city as well. It is a huge cube. Here in my translation, it says a 12,000 stadium. From what I understand, I can have a note in a copy of my Bible here, that 12,000 stadia equates to approximately, in our measurements, about 1,400 to 1,500 miles. That's a big city. 1,500 miles. That's like going from Fort Smith, Arkansas, to the City of Angels in Los Angeles. About 1,500 miles that way. And then the other way, you go from Houston, Texas, and you go up to Winnipeg. I mean, that's huge. 1,500 miles. My wife, we do our floor plan a little bit, you know. This is a big floor plan. I mean, that is a huge floor plan, the 1,500 miles in each direction. In fact, the David Jeremiah had an interesting thought on this, and you just think there's height to this as well. He says, there's got to be some floors involved here. I mean, you have the stories, and you're like, wonder how many stories this building has at 1,500 miles tall. I mean, even if you went 5 miles per story, that's 300 floors at 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles up. That's a big place. In fact, the tallest building in our world right now is the Burj Khalifa. We'll put a picture of that up. It's in the Dubai. Pretty big building. Maybe a little bit over a half a mile up, but you count the very pinnacle of it at 2,700 feet. It actually has 163 floors. A big building. That's big. It goes up a half a mile. The New Jerusalem, the city of God that will come down to us, it's not a half a mile. It is 1,500 miles tall. A cube. I mean, length and width and breadth and height of 1,500 miles. I mean, we can see even in the place that we live now, you go to the atmosphere and they say, about wherever it is, it's about 62 miles up is the atmosphere where we break out into space. And this is described to us as a city that's 1,500 miles tall. Man, if you go to the top floor of that place, you're going to get a great view of the new heavens and the new earth. In fact, that little building that was up there, I think at about the level 140, you could go up and I guess you could get a great view of things. But imagine going up 1,500 miles and getting a view of the new earth. And a view of the new heaven. I mean, it is just mind-boggling. And the Bible opens up with an account, and after the flood, all of mankind gets together in a plane, and they say, let's build a skyscraper, guys. We just want to build something. We want to make a name for ourselves. And so they build the first skyscraper in Babylon. Don't know how high it was, but they wanted to reach the heavens. And they didn't. Man ever wants to build something to reach the heavens. But here we are told about a tower that reaches from heaven to earth and comes down to earth and reaches up into the heavens. Talk about a skyscraper. I mean, this is a new kind of a city. A city that reaches, comes down from heaven to earth, and reaches from earth into the heavens. Kind of like Jacob's ladder, in a way. You remember Jacob's ladder and the dream and saw the angels ascending and descending, and like Jesus even referenced that he was Jacob's ladder, and the angels of God ascending and descending in him. The one that connects heaven above and earth below. And here we have God in this city that he makes. Man has never tried to build as high up as he can go, but he can never reach the heavens. But here God makes a city, and he brings it down from the heavens to us. And now heaven and earth are connected by this amazing hue. You remember when Solomon built the temple, and David had the blueprints, as it were, from God himself on how big he make it, and the temple, and inside the temple. It's a pretty fancy temple, a lot of gold in it, but in the middle of the temple, you remember what was said? The Holy of Holies. It was a place symbolically that this was the tabernacle of God. This is where God dwells. And do you know the dimensions of the Holy of Holies? Well, in 1 Kings 6 and verse 20, it says it was 20 cubits this way, or 20 cubits that way, and 20 cubits that way. It was a cube. The Holy of Holies was a cube, telling the people of God there were centuries and centuries and bringing down to now. And here we read of this cube, not 30 feet by 30 feet by 30 feet, but 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles that comes down from heaven to earth. A gigantic Holy of Holies where God himself resides, and he brings us into himself, where he will be our God and we will be his people, and he makes us pillars of the temple of his God, and we are living stones, and we are his bride, and we live with God himself. And this little description right here, this is only one city. This is just the capital city of the new heavens and the new earth. Remember, we saw last time he's going to make it the new heaven and a new earth. This is just the jumping off point. There's all of the new earth and all of the new heavens to enjoy outside of even this central focus of this city of God. It is mind-boggling of a destination to enjoy for all eternity. And let me just end here with a real simple point, as I've struggled to describe the indescribable here, just trying to take up what it says. But this city is enormous. And let me, by way of application, just say, it's big enough for you. If it's 1,500 miles each direction, 1,500 miles tall, who knows how many stories, reaching into space, and then there's the whole new heavens and new earth, it's big enough for you. It will take the very chief of sinners. I tell you what, if it will take Judah and Simeon, if it will take Levi and Zebulun, if it will take Benjamin and Manasseh and Ephraim, if it will take those sinners, and their names are on the wall, or on a game, if it'll take them, it will take you. Yeah. If the very foundations are of Peter, who denied his form, of Matthew, who was the tax collector, of James and John, all of them that forsook him and fled, if those are the very foundations of this city, are redeemed sinners, this huge city will take you. And the entrance to this city is regarded by angels. And I don't know if Peter's at any of the gates, but his name's at one of them. But your name can be on one of the stones in this city gate. Years ago, we bought it as a family. We bought a brick. Just a brick out at the zoo. Boy, we got a name on it, brick. Wouldn't it be so much better to be a living stone in this city? To enter through this pearly gate, made from the irritation and agony inflicted by the sinners upon the Savior, and to have our name on the wall of this great city. Your name could be a living stone built into this eternal city. A living stone. This city could hold you. Now, I'll begin with asking if you like to travel, and I hope you like to travel, or maybe you would like to travel someday. Maybe you've enjoyed the descriptions and sights of the amazing things around our world, this sin-stained world. Well, here is a description of an eternal place that is really beyond what we can describe. This is a destination you don't want to miss. We're just going to sing a quick hymn of invitation. And I'm just going to ask, is heaven your destination? Here was the description, and I hope that you get to see it someday, because it is the eternal abode for sinners that are redeemed by the Savior. So let's stand and we'll just sing a quick word or a quick hymn. See you face to face. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.